So the wise person says nothing because they can't be accused of anything. So then we have to watch their behavior. We have to see how they act or respond in various situations. But here it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are, as the saying goes, what we think about. So in our private moments, in our downtime, or we might even refer to it as a vulnerable moment where you deserve a break today moment. We've all been there. You deserve a break today. You've been faithful. You've been diligent. You've been on the rock. You know, you're doing your job. And then all of a sudden, the whistle blows, figuratively speaking. You're out of work. You're out of your ministry. You've got some, unloosen your tie. Now it's you deserve a break moment. What do you think about first? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And in our minds, in our hearts, obviously that's why I'm giving you this handout, there are some things we have to deal with. I'm not consumed with, but I am thinking constantly about this issue of sin that lurks not only in a lost person's heart, but in a saved person's heart. And trying to find a way or find biblical principles to empower those that might be lost, encourage those that might be saved with biblical precepts and principles so that we have victory over ourselves. Christ gave us victory on the cross, but getting the victory from the cross into our lives is not always the easiest thing. That's why Paul said, take up your cross daily and follow me. So the end of the verse is another part that perhaps we don't have time to deal with it right now, but we should be careful about those that want to suck us in with the delicacies of life. Eat, drink, your family. That would be a typical commercial for whatever fast food restaurant, you know, you would want to do. But the Bible says, eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Or this could be a setup. There are too many biblical stories that talk about food, gluttony, reveling, banqueting, how that men, particularly, will be sucked in by food and then have their throat cut, symbolically speaking. Okay? Because sometimes we lose our ability to be diligent and vigilant when our passions and our desires are met. We're not paying attention spiritually. When our body's full, when our belly's full, then we say, Lord, I don't need you. Isn't that what the psalmist said somewhere? It says, you know, I have to be careful because if I eat too much, then I'm going to deny the Lord. And if I don't have enough, then I'm going to steal. Remember that passage of scripture in Proverbs? Don't turn there, but Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a sobering thought, wouldn't you say? That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If that's true of man in general, and if that's true of us today, what prevents us from acting this out? Turn with you to Matthew chapter number 12. Somewhere on your handout, John, do we have extras of these handouts? Where are they? Somewhere in your handout, I'd like you to write down Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. Maybe in one of the top corners. The Bible says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his what? His fruit. Same is true of the person. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. This is so important and so fundamental And yet we ignore this, where in fact, this is so foundational. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. Every once in a while, things come out of my mouth that I say, whoa, where'd that come from? Like you might say a dumb thing or a foolish thing or something like that was, you might even admit immediately, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. As opposed to, you know, you think about what you might have said and then you realize, oh, that's going to get me in trouble. I should correct myself and you do it the next day. There's a difference between correcting yourself immediately, like, did I just say that? You know, and you want to correct it soon because you said, I didn't mean that. That must have been a slip up. So the Bible clearly says what comes out of our mouth reveals what's going on in our heart. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. So if there's a good treasure of the heart, is there a bad treasure of the heart? Has to be. Bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. On another corner of your handout, write down Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 15, 18 through 20. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. All right, let's take a moment and look at our diagram. I was, again, like I said, thinking about and meditating on how the Bible clearly reveals not only the condition of our heart, but how we might be able to help those that have a problem with their heart. So as I was going through my diagram, my spirit, soul, body diagram, the intersection of those parts would be the center. The center, obviously, would be the heart. As I've said 100 times, if I've said it once, we have a physical heart, we have a soul heart, we have a spiritual heart. So as we look from the scriptures that say, if the things that come out of our heart are blasphemies, thefts, murders, then behavior, the source of our words, the source of our actions, is from where? From the heart. Now, I know everybody knows that. But if that's true, why don't we focus more on the heart? If every thought, every word, every action stems from the heart, then the heart is the center of everything, right? The heart is the center of everything. So what is God trying to deal with every single time we open his word? He's always, always, always trying to deal with our heart. But getting there, that's the challenge. Getting there is the challenge. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the... If that's true, then whatever deceptive mechanism we have, whatever denial protocol that we have, whatever habitual way we have to avoid God, to avoid the Spirit, to avoid the Scriptures, to avoid accountability, we will do. That's factory equipment. That we came with that. Now, I say all that because I'm thinking about starting a Christian school. So what do you do with naughty kids? It's easy. Give them a bunch of rules. Right? Give them a bunch of rules. Conform. Conform! Pay attention. Behave. And whatever you got to do. Make them shape up. Ship out. You know, all that stuff that we do when we say, intimidation, intimidate. We do whatever we can to make them toe the line. You know, make them shake in their boots. But what's the real issue, Donya? The heart's the real issue. So every time there's a, I don't want to say an altercation. Every time there's a manifestation of the factory equipment, in child and in adult, in us and in them, there's an opportunity for us and them to realize the factory equipment's taking over. Whether it's envy, jealousy, whatever it happens to be, the things that, you know, won't send you to jail, at least not at this moment. Those hidden things that we think in Christianity, oh, that's just them. Oh, they're short-tempered. Oh, that's just the way they are. No, those are things out of our heart. So as I was thinking and meditating about this particular issue and looking at the scriptures that clearly say, out of the heart proceed, and then there were lists. And I'm thinking, what did we look like? Would you mind Googling an image on an iceberg? Iceberg image. Because we really want to get an idea of what we really look like. Biblically and scripturally. So, with the document in front of you, I want you to look up on the top of the page. It says Proverbs 4:23. Would you look up that verse with me? Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 says, please remember, Solomon is writing this. He's writing this to his son. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. In soccer, the person who plays goalie is called a keeper. His job is to prevent goals from scoring. In hockey, they call him a goalkeeper. And we can go on and on and on. But the Bible says, keep, guard, prevent, pay attention at the top of your list. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So the Bible clearly says that if all of our sin comes from the center of our heart, and if the Bible says in Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, then the things that we need to address, the things we need to approach, the things that we need to say to addicts and adults alike is, as we've said 100 times, not to point a finger and not to jab somebody in the chest, but your heart's a problem. That's the answer. The problem is, what's the solution? If it's easier to identify the problem, but how do we take care of the part that's under the water? Because 15% is above the water, 85% is below the water. So if what you see is what you get from a child, if this is the way they are in public, and all you see is 15%, that's what we are like underneath. That's the true condition of our heart. But we only show a certain percentage of it. So the unredeemed heart, the lost heart, the person who hasn't been saved, has to deal with that. And that's what our children are like. That's what every child is like. And we miss the opportunity to groom and to train and to disciple these young hearts. Because not only is their behavior foolish, but for many, their behavior is sinful. And they don't know how to be set free from themselves. And for many of us, neither do we. So I started looking at some lists. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is just the beginning of the list. I think I've got 90 at this point. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." They're evident. People can see them. They're obvious. They're not hidden. "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." All four of those are sexual sins. And you say, why doesn't the King James Bible give us a simple, easy, why does it have to be so difficult? No, it's not difficult. Adultery, sex out of marriage. Fornication, sex before marriage. Uncleanness, sexual deviance. Lasciviousness, sexual excess. They're not the same. And if you don't take the time to simply look up a word because you don't know what it means, you're going to miss what the Bible's trying to say. Idolatry, valuing something more than you value your relationship with God. Witchcraft, sorcery, being under the influence of demonic forces. Hatred, having a great dislike for another. Variance, argumentative. Emulation, an unhealthy desire for superiority. Wrath, revengeful feelings of getting even. Strife, spreading angry contentions. Sedition, raising commotion. Heresies, errors in the fundamentals of religion. Envying, a general uneasiness with the happiness of others. Murders, premeditated killing of another human being. Drunkenness, to be habitually overpowered with intoxication with alcohol. Reveling, uncontrolled feasting and carousing in a party-like atmosphere. And such like. So there's a few of the things hidden in our heart. Down there. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Verse 3. "That ye should abstain from fornication." I think we've seen that before. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence." Pastor, why can't this be simple? Concupiscence. "Forbidden longing, strong sexual desire, lust. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man should go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner." Defraud means to cheat, deceive, or deprive. "Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Again, we see that word uncleanness means sexual deviance. Sexual deviance. That's what's going on in the moral revolution today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, do you know what that next word means? Effeminate. Sounds like feminine. Practically speaking, men that don't act like men. Does the Bible really say that? Well, it does, because the context continues. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Same sex marriage. Clear, isn't it? It's right there. Nor thieves. You mean I can't steal? You can't even think about it. Covetousness. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Where is all this stuff stored up? Right there. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, meaning having affection towards someone of the same sex. It's not ordinary. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1, verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up. Gave them up to what? Vile affections. Not inordinate affections, where your affection toward the same sex is inordinate. It's not ordinary. But here it says vile affections. This is beyond the limit. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. We come factory equipped with homosexual intentions and inclinations. You say, no, that's not possible. Yeah, it's written right there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. That's not enough. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. I love this one. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All right, let's look at our diagram. Let's pause for a moment, because the list can kind of... So as we look at the diagram, The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. This is a very simple, flat, two-dimensional diagram. We are not made flat, two-dimensional diagrams. So this is a very poor illustration at best. So our spirit is made up of our intuition, our conscience, and our worship. So therefore, inside of that iceberg, what's lurking in our heart are sinful leadings, sinful guilt, and sinful devotions under the what we would call the umbrella of the spirit. Under the umbrella of the soul, or the psychology, or that other part of us that's made up of the mind, the will, the emotions, we have emanating from the heart, of course you see that dotted circle in the center, that's the heart. Emanating from the heart, we have sinful thoughts, sinful decisions, sinful feelings. Not all of our feelings are biblical. Not all of our feelings are accurate. Not all of our feelings are worthy of entertainment. I feel like killing myself. All right? So you've spoken like a fool. You might feel like that, but you shouldn't. Somebody should talk sense into you. Because there's way too much to live for than there is to die for. The thought and the words come from Satan himself. Okay, so then we look at the body. And the body is made up of our works, our words, our behavior, our actions. And again, all of what is sinful and evil and wrong stems from our heart. Now, if we look at this diagram, there's hope in redemption. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 36. Ecclesiastes chapter 36. I'm sorry? Oh, my bad. I meant Ezekiel. Thank you, Charlene. They start with the same letter. That's really a bad comeback. Ezekiel 36. I knew there was ZZ in there, and I didn't hear it when it came out. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 5. So, through salvation, through redemption, through forgiveness, through pardon, God wants to take that iceberg that's underneath the water, and he wants to redo that. He wants to melt that. He wants to reduce that so it doesn't become a hindrance to us for the rest of our life. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, agape love. Out of what kind of a heart? A pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Meaning, it's not fake. It's not counterfeit. It's genuine. It's real. It's authentic. Now, we could spend some more time, and I'd like to look at maybe one more set of sins before we kind of close this out. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Meaning, we're becoming directors and producers of our own movies. covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, meaning same sex, whatever, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. So basically what I did was I got my spreadsheet and I started typing in the names of the sins. This way I could alphabetize them. So as I'm typing in evil, covetous, envy, and I needed to put them in alphabetical order, just a click of a button, and it does that for me. So I've got 90 sins. And I just started yesterday morning. Just the simple lists that we've looked at. I've looked at 90 problems that not only parents face, but we face as we deal with children, as we adults deal with other adults. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as I've said, as your pastor, and as you've probably recognized in your own personal life, the devil in your flesh want nothing more than for you to sit here and be comfortable. Form of godliness. But woe unto God, woe unto the devil if you pay attention. If you prepare yourself for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to break through, to get to the heart of that candy. Because that moment of revelation only happens momentarily. God wants that transparency to be there all the time. So that if you spoke the wrong word, the Holy Spirit of God would catch you immediately. Wrong. You should apologize for that right away. Where your leadings and your intuition and the Spirit, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Where you are so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that the words you say, the things you do, the actions you do, the decisions you make are bathed in prayer, bathed in your time with God. So that if you're going the wrong way, the Holy Spirit can check you and stop you and say, you shouldn't be going that way. That's the Spirit-filled walk. That's the Spirit-filled life. It's not perfect. Of course it's not perfect, because we're going to make wrong decisions. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to have wrong intentions. But we know they're wrong because the Holy Spirit of God says so. But the more we say no to that, the more we ignore that, the more we dismiss that, then we start making those calluses around our heart. And then after the callus begins, then we have to start using a sledgehammer and a chisel. Start breaking away the things that the heart used to be tender. The heart used to be moldable. The heart used to do something, but now it's been baked. Now it's a piece of pottery. Now just take it on the edge of the platform. Just throw it down. Let God shatter it. And let God put it back together again. Galatians chapter 4. I read this morning, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Where? Isn't that good? God wants to break this up. How can he do that? Word of God? The Spirit of God? But if we're not in the Word of God, and we're not surrendering to the Spirit of God, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Verse 19. my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's not going to happen with a stubborn heart, a hard heart. The only way Christ can be formed in us is we give that heart over to the Lord. Because out of the heart proceed all the things that we talked about, right? For a good tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What I'm trying to say is the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. For sure. So if it's raising our children or any relationship that we have with anybody, it's always a heart issue. It's always a heart issue. So somebody who's addicted to whatever they're addicted to, the addiction's on the top. The addiction's only a symptom. What you see is only a symptom. The real problem is down there. So don't try to clean up the symptom. Deal with that. Because if you don't deal with that, then you're just wasting your time. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, there are times, I hope and trust, in our Christian life when, like King David was confronted with something in his life, in his heart, where he was stopped cold, not only by the prophet Nathan, but King David was stopped cold by his conscience. He realized that something in his heart that he had hidden away, and God revealed in such a miraculous way. The Bible says he was cut to the heart. When Stephen preached to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. What that means, Lord, is you have not only the Word of God and the Spirit of God to dissect us, but your desire is to expose us. You would like to do heart surgery on us every single day. And unfortunately, we don't realize the benefit of that. We think like hockey players can just go out and skate on the ice and just continue to skate on the ice and use it hour after hour after hour, where professional hockey players get that Zamboni out. They scrape that ice. They scrape that ice. They put a beautiful thin coat of water on the top of it. It freezes over nice, smooth, clear. It's been recovered. It's been restored. Lord, maybe you need to take a Zamboni onto our heart and clear off all of that debris, all of that garbage. God, I pray that we might be more alert and attuned to the fact that who we are is a function of the heart. It's not what we say. It's not what we do. It's not how we dress. All of those things are a function of what's taking place on the inside, on the inner core, on the heart. Bless our prayer time, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I have a couple men help me with our prayer sheets?